flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Folks, every month we check in with our friends on the North Shore to gain a better understanding of what's happening over there. They play a very important part of the regional economy, and Lacey Osborne has agreed to join us every month. She is the CEO and president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. Lacey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. Glad to be here.
And Happy New Year to you. I think this is the first time that we get a chance to talk in 2025.
Yes, we're a little overdue. So I know we had some plans. Everything's changing every day. So we're just glad to be back.
I think Mother Nature threw us a couple of curveballs there entire week. Speaking of that, why don't we start right there? How did that go for you guys on the North Shore?
Well, it was, our businesses just kept in the groove. They reopened as soon as people could get out on the roads, and we didn't hear any bad impact on our businesses. So we appreciate, we followed the causeway. The causeway being closed did put a damper on some of us that were hoping to travel to Washington, Mardi Gras. But,
right.
It was 100-year happy weather event. That's what I would call it.
Yeah. Good to hear that things went well. Hopefully it doesn't happen again anytime soon. So as you guys look back on 2024, what are kind of the highlights for y'all?
Well, we try to remain focused because there's so much growth in St. Tammany and so much happening on the economic development front. We try to focus on 5 things. One, communications with our community partners, primarily our business partners, the business council, the home builders, and the like. And then the turnover on our parish council last year, we focused on that because we wanted to build trust and relationships with the 9 of the 14 new members. Reaccreditation with the U.S. Chamber, being an accredited chamber is a choice. And it's a lot. It's a lot of effort to get the highest rankings, but we were determined to do that, and we did. And continue working to integrate our membership east and west, and advocate on behalf of all businesses. So it was really one of the best years in my memory as far as really checking off the boxes on some of these lists that are so relevant.
And you guys have experienced a lot of change from governance over there, right? I think is the entire council new, or is there one? And it was a big shift.
Yes.
And how has that worked out for you guys?
It's going really well. We have 9 of 14 first term members. And in January of last year, we began to meet with them one on one and really try to listen to them, and they listen to us regarding issues that impact the ability to do business, like permitting and moratoriums, and just communicating and understanding where we as a business community are coming from. And being that most of them were new, they were ready to listen and learn and drink from the fire hydrant.
So the chamber now, y'all are relatively young, right?
Well, actually, as a parish-wide chamber, we are 5 years old. Previously, there was a Mandeville chamber and a Covington chamber that combined to St. Tammany West, and there was a Slidell chamber that changed to the greater, or the East St. Tammany chamber. So we, you know, while we always work on unity and unifying our parish and communities, we've really come a long way. And there's more growing acceptance that, you know, we are not East Baton Rouge and West Baton Rouge. We are not two parishes. We are one parish.
It's interesting how that, you know, got to that point, right? And
right.
I've always been intrigued by some of those, those friction points geographically throughout St. Tammany.
I don't think it's unusual. Of course, you know, there are 6,000 chambers across the country, and I've made dear friends and colleagues, and we always compare notes. It's kind of like high school rivalries, I think, that it's just stronger in some areas than others. And just like our population has grown tremendously in the last 50 years, I think that if there was an imaginary divide or an imaginary bridge or, you know, toll tag to get from one side to the other, it's going away. And I'm very grateful to the business leaders that have worked on that. I know our elected officials are grateful. I was able to go to the Slidell City Council meeting this week. And, of course, you know, our membership, being that we basically had two chambers and one chamber dissolved and the other chamber just dropped that East-West designation. And I think there's growing acceptance and the business, you know, there's a lot of new blood in our elected leadership, including our legislatures and city councils. So it's a new day, and here we are. We're going to keep building on that unity.
So let's pivot to 2025 and what you guys are looking to involve yourself in. But first, let me ask this question. Obviously, big week coming up, right? Super Bowl week. And yes. I know here in Jefferson Parish and those that share a coterminous boundary with the Parish of Orleans, you guys do on the East End, obviously. And I'm kind of curious, are y'all seeing any impact in a positive way for St. Tammany?
Well, our hotels are booking up and overflowing, and it's the same, I would like to think, it's the same buzz and excitement about our region and our city. So I'll let you know when it's over, but I'm assuming that our restaurants are going to be packed and just kind of latch on to that South Shore, New Orleans economic opportunity.
Right. Have you heard from like your hoteliers and others that their OC rates are up and you know they've booked up?
Well, with the snow and the interruptions, not yet, but I definitely heard following the Taylor Swift tours, definite impact from the small businesses to the hotels to the restaurants. So no doubt that's going to be happening.
So let's talk about 2025. Where are you guys headed?
We have really tried to be that chamber of commerce. You know, if you see one chamber of commerce, you've seen one chamber of commerce. We're all different. But our role and the role of growing chambers in growing communities is more toward proactively and steering and leading issues that impact the ability to do business and our quality of life, everything. So one communicating, I mean, you're a master communicator. You have your large audience to get the message out. But regardless, just having people understand and act, for example, in elections and the voter turnout. So we really hope to build more awareness. We have a big property tax imbalance in our parish. We have some fear in some parts of our pockets of our communities, fear of economic development and attracting business. So we want to foster more communication and understanding to support those efforts that make our quality of life better, not just for now, but for the future. So we are more proactive.
So when you talk about imbalance, you're talking about the differential between residential and commercial property, and you know that the commercial property, obviously, they pay at a higher rate. And so the percentage of residential right now is what?
80% of our homeowners. Our homeowners pay 80% of the entire property taxes collected in St. Tammany, and businesses pay 20% because we don't have as many businesses, say, as St. Charles or St. James Parish, where those ratios are almost opposite because they have a strong presence of business and industry. So that's a message that just began to resonate once our, frankly, it was our outgoing chairman, Chris Abadie, who is with Colliers Real Estate and very active on the Regional Planning Commission. When he threw those numbers out there, 80% of our taxes are paid by residents. And, wow, really? Maybe we need to change our view and be more accepting of the economic development opportunities that are just before us, like never before. We're not going to talk about this today in the interest of time, but, you know, we are part of a region. What's going on with the ports and the ports growth and what's happening or potentially happening in St. Bernard, there's opportunity here along the I-12 corridor. So it's just looking up for a business opportunity, and we want to foster that and help educate people on why it's good.
Yeah, because you as the former tax collector, I guess you reduce the possibility or probability of having local government roll their millages forward, right, on the residential side, which would impact the commercial side as well if you have a healthier balance. And that necessity is diminished, diminishes as you create that healthy balance.
Right. Well, it's no secret that St. Tammany struggles. Our parish, the portion of the property tax and sales tax dollars that go to parish government is much lower than most people would realize. And, you know, I always say, since I arrived here, I'm here to look forward and not look back. But sometimes we have to look back on failures and what can we do to prevent the same thing from happening in the future. So, unfortunately, we have had failed sales tax renewals that have made a big impact on parish government. And there will be an election on top of the state tax reform and constitutional amendments on the March 29th, I believe it's March 29th ballot. We also will have a rededication of parish taxes that voters will need to approve. So we, the chamber, we hope to help educate people on that. And I did speak to some of our parish councilmen this morning, and they will be getting out in the community to organizations, homeowners, to explain what this tax rededication will mean. And hopefully, we hope they will also explain what it will mean if it fails.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of folks don't, and it's interesting that you say that this was brought forward in 2024, 2023, and y'all started looking at this balance, because even in the commercial property world, there's a balance that you want to achieve as well, right? Because you have business types that generate property tax only. You have, and then you have business types that generate not only property taxes, but, you know, sales tax, because they're retail operations. Because some retail operations don't necessarily create a lot of, that don't contribute to the sales tax base. An example would be a bank. They pay the property taxes, but they're not selling taxable services, so to speak. So, you know, and so you want to create in your development scheme a balance there. And most folks don't recognize it. It's amazing how many government leaders don't really understand the different types of businesses out there and having to create that healthy mix. I don't know what y'all's experience has been in communicating with government leaders, but it's funny, when I've had these conversations with government leaders, they have this aha moment. You know, it's like, never thought about it.
We're so grateful that we have more communication, more one-on-one communication with members of our parish council and our legislators. So we had an event this week with Secretary of Revenue Richard Nelson, who of course hails from Mandeville, and State Rep Mark Wright, explaining the Louisiana tax reform. And things happened so fast in the first year of Governor Landry's administration. You know, there was just fear and questions. And so this tax reform, it's not easy for some people to understand. But I can tell you, at that event, we had a different audience, because we had a manufacturer and the impact of the sales from his large manufacturing throughout the country. And, you know, people just don't understand that. And then there's questions about nonprofits, large nonprofits that don't pay property taxes. And some people go, oh, I didn't know that. Well, a lot of citizens, and this is not to be insulting because I'm one of them, there's just so much information to understand and hopefully go make the right choice in the voter's booth, because it will impact your quality of life and safety, our courts, our justice system, our district attorney. It's a big reason why we have to have this tax rededication. I know that, you know, as a grandmother and just, you know, a woman, our safety is the most important thing, our children and our own safety. So we're going to be out there educating, as our parish council members I saw this morning promised they will be in the next 60 days.
I look forward to meeting and discussing more with you in the near future. Thank you so much for joining us today, Lacey Osborne, CEO and President of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. Have a great weekend.
Same to you. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. And when we come back, we'll hook up with Kevin Doliol or Aaron Burns, the director of communications out at the Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport. Get an update as we head into a big, big week and a huge influx of travelers coming to the town. Stay with us.
Ah. Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Kevin Dolio, Director of Aviation for the Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport. Kevin, I assume you survived the snowstorm.
Well, yes, we survived the snowstorm. It was a very interesting and challenging period of time, but we got through it.
Yeah, I guess there were a lot of first, right? I mean, yes. You're the director of the first of the new airport. I'm not so sure you wanted to be the first of a snowstorm, right?
Right. It was a very, I've lived in, of course, in cold weather cities before, St. Louis, Omaha, Chicago, and this snowfall really was right there with what I used to see in those cities. But of course, the huge difference is those cities are it's all the time, right? During the winters there, and they're equipped and accustomed to dealing with the snow. So it was a little more challenging for us, but we did as a region. I thought we did a lot better than I would have expected from a southern city.
No, I would agree, and I have said that we should be very proud of that. Was there some inconvenience? Absolutely, but that's how this works, right?
I mean, right.
The whole thing is inconvenient. But what is convenient, hopefully, is next week's activities. I came through the airport this past weekend. Look great. Look like things were falling into place, and I'm sure a lot of the new signage is up and everything else, welcoming the thousands upon thousands of travelers that'll be arriving at the airport.
Right. Very, very true. And I tell you, Super Bowl is right on top of us now. There's no turning back. But we've gone through, it's been a year of preparations, working with our various stakeholders, particularly the airlines, the public safety agencies like TSA, our concessionaires, transportation providers. We've had ongoing, regularly scheduled meetings and planning sessions to get every aspect of the operation geared up and prepared for what's coming. Super Bowls, we've been exposed to Super Bowls before, but of course it's an event that grows each year, right? So it's been a few years since the last one here, so it's an even bigger event. And it puts a lot of pressure on city facilities and on an airport facility. But we're ready.
Kevin, what is the challenge that is presented? I mean, it's a pretty compressed period of time, I guess, where you have a lot of folks from the team cities that are going to play, both Kansas City and Philadelphia, certainly, but a lot of folks that are from Philly, from KC, that are living in other areas of the country coming, not to mention, 6,000 media representatives that are here, too. So kind of describe from a flight perspective, you know, the inventory that of folks coming in.
Mm-hmm. And it's three aspects of additional pressure that's put on an airport facility. Of course, the more obvious is what the public sees is the additional passenger traffic that moves through the facility. We're going to have a lot more passenger traffic Thursday and Friday on the arrival side. There'll be very heavy days coming in with more passengers than we're accustomed to seeing coming in through inbound through that period, with Friday really being the heavier of the 2 days.
Can you quantify that for us? Is it did y'all have a
in terms? Well, the seat. Seats are being added as we speak. As it teams, there was an inventory there which was already higher than what's typical planned for the slots. And as the teams have been announced, airlines have been announcing additional service, you know, more specific and tied to those cities. Right now, we are seats in the market the Friday on the arrival side. There's in a 36 to 37,000 seat range right now, and that's still a fluid number. And typically on a heavy inbound or outbound day, heavier days are in the high 20s, 28 to 30,000 folks. So you're looking at a good bit more. And outbound on the Monday after the game, we could approach 40,000 folks flying out of here on that day.
So you're looking at more than like 30% increases, huh?
Yes, yes. And wow. And that's what's visible to the public and seen on the public side of the operation. But people don't realize the amount of pressure it puts on an airport's airfield. There'll be a lot more private aircraft operations on the airport. Much greater demand for parking on our open space. We're fortunately in position with the move from the south terminal to the north terminal that we have a good bit more apron to work with than we have in handling past Super Bowls, because we have all of the apron on the south side of the airfield to work with as well. So it's going to be a large amount of, we'll be packed darn near wingtip to wingtip on every available piece of apron on the airfield. And I'll give you a much clearer example of the activity on the airfield. We typically, over a weekend period, 3 day period through a weekend, might see on the GA, general aviation side of our operation, maybe around 200 operations over that period. For Super Bowl, the anticipation in GA operations alone, that's not counting commercial traffic, in GA operations alone, 1,500 to 2,000 operations over that period.
Wow.
So it's very, very significant, and a lot of demand on the airfield, and every airport in the area will be touched by Super Bowl. Lakefront is going to see a ton of operations.
On the GA side, that's 8 to 10X. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. And also, with the influx of traffic, we would typically beef up law enforcement and activity in the airport, and of course with the recent event here, that will be stepped up even more. And it's something you wouldn't go into detail on, but rest assured, there'll be quite a bit more LEO coverage on the airport than you're accustomed to seeing. The TSA at the security checkpoint will equip for the first time. We'll have all 17 TSA checkpoint lanes open and operating for the outflow on Monday. And 11 of those have been recently, through the preparation for Super Bowl, TSA has equipped 11 of our lanes with the latest screening technology to speed up the process moving through those lanes. And they're also bringing in a ton of additional personnel out of their national deployment office. So there'll be a lot more TSA employees on hand here, all 17 lanes functioning. First time that's been done. And the checkpoint will operate continuously from 3 a.m. Sunday through closure Monday night. So it will be an around-the-clock operation at the checkpoint for that period of time.
And that's awesome for the airport, right? Because the last thing you want is a problem on the inbound side for the traveling public and just mm-hmm. equally as important on the outbound side, because that's the last thing they remember, their experience in the city. And if it doesn't go well, and, you know, people always tend to talk about the ease of administration and getting in and getting out of the airport,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. That's true. And it will be a bit more difficult through that period, but with the all of the added resources, it's going to keep, even with the load of folks that will be moving through the facility, it will be eons smoother with all of the additional resources than it would be otherwise if we staffed it with our typical staffing. Also, other pressures will be curbside. Mm-hmm. And in our concessions operations, of course, if you're the concessions will have special team themed food and beverage items in their operations. There'll be an additional concession space added temporarily. There'll be a pop up location on the lower level of the just outside of the claim area near the tree wall. That will have offerings from both the retail side of the concessions operation and the food and beverage side. And they, along with everyone else, the airlines, concessionaires, rental car operators, everyone's augmenting their staff with additional staff from other locations. And the rental car operators are also they're bumping their local fleet by 50% of vehicles for rental. The host committee for the city and working with us and coordinating is sending will deploy 600 local ambassadors to the airport to assist in passenger assistance through the facility, both inbound and outside. Over that period. And we've made arrangements and set up temporary locations for various ground transportation operators to have additional pickup area on the inbound side of the operation, particularly our TNCs, that's the Uber and Lyft, charter buses, and Black Car and Limousine Service, which you'll see a lot of. Through a Super Bowl event with the high-profile passengers that will be arriving. So it touches every inch of the airport.
That corridor is going to be one busy corridor. As you're describing this, I mean, the head is just buzzing over on this side of the conversations. You know, you are aware, because I worked with you out at the airport. I was out there for, you know, yep. A number of years, and
right.
You know, I'm just kind of thinking, wow, the manpower to, you know, to keep that clear, keep it going, and everything else is going to be extraordinary.
It is, but we're built for it. We'll handle it well.
Final thoughts.
Just for the. Our local users and citizens that know expect when you use the facility over that period that it will be a good bit busier, maybe allow additional time as you come to the airport to process through. But rest assured, there will be a ton of additional resources poured into the operation to cover every aspect of the operation and to keep things as smooth as possible through that period. Look, Super Bowl is a big deal, and it's very beneficial for the city. And we want to do everything we can as well to ensure that our visitors coming in for the Super Bowl have a great experience as they move through the airport, both inbound and out.
Well, best of luck, my friend. Good luck to you. I know that you're juggling a lot of balls out there for sure, for certain. And it's always a good test for the system, though, right? And I love your confidence level, and we hope that everything goes well. I just looked at the weather because we're within the 10 days now, and there's no snow.
Perfect.
You could check that off the list.
We can handle it now.
Thank you so much for joining us. Kevin Dolio, Director of Aviation for the Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport. Have a great week next week, Kevin, and best of luck to you, your staff, and all the volunteers that will be out there. We really appreciate all that you do.
Thank you so much, Noel. Thank you, sir.
We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. So, folks, we'll be talking in the last hour about the ramp up to the Super Bowl with Jay Cicero and others. Marcus Brown, chair of the Super Bowl host committee, and he's also general counsel for Entergy, one of the big sponsors for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, and all the work that they've had to do in putting this event on. And Jack and Susan Groh will join us during that same period of time, director and associate director, NFL Green, and we'll talk about what that means and what lasting effects that has and what they hope to accomplish here in this region. I wanted to talk about a couple of things that really are kind of interesting, relative to issues going on, especially with immigration and what's being talked about and what the view is of so many different folks in the media relative to this. So, obviously, Trump has identified certain cartels, the cartels, as terrorist organizations. So the media goes down into Mexico to get the reaction of the cartel. And the cartel says, oh, well, we're not really worried about what Trump is saying. And they report that as though it's actually meaningful. And it's really amazing to me that no matter what comes out of this administration's mouth relative to immigration, they will try to find a way or a spin on the issue to try and minimize the impact while they're facing public opinion that has reached as high as 80% as it relates to what this administration is doing under Kristi Noem and Tom Homan and alike. it just never ceases to amaze me the extent that they'll go to relative to this. What would you expect the cartel to say? Oh, yeah, we're worried. We're very worried about what the U.S. is going to do. We're very worried about this, or we're very worried about that. Are you kidding me? They're gonna play the bravado, right? Because they want to make sure that they are still feared in their territory. All you have done by going down there is giving them an opportunity and a platform to make it sound like they're the baddest ass people in the world. And that there's no way that anybody's going to be able to take them on. And they publish this stuff as though they're serious. To the contrary, it makes you look like you're a joke. I mean, I don't know what they thought cartel members were going to actually say. Oh, we're shaking in our boots. They don't understand the psyche of these individuals, much like they didn't understand the psyche of Hamas and Hezbollah and others as it relates to terrorist organizations, and how they manipulate the messaging that's out there every chance they are given. And it's just absolutely incredible. You know, this was ABC's Matt Rivers, who the article's about. They're taking us inside the smuggling operations of one of the biggest of Mexico's biggest cartels, as they remain defiant against President Trump after he signed an executive order naming them terrorists. It's like, you think this is news? I mean, that they remain defiant? Of course they do. They're defiant to everyone. They're defiant to the Mexican National Police. They're defiant to the military in Mexico. They're defiant to everyone. It doesn't mean that everyone else is impotent as it relates to what they want to do. I suspect that in a very short period of time, we are going to hear a much different story. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. When we return after the top of the hour news break, Jay Cicero, President and CEO of Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, joins us, as well as Marcus Brown, Chair of the Super Bowl Host Committee, and Jack and Susan Groh, Director and Associate Director of NFL Green. We'll visit with these folks. Countdown is getting serious. It is here. We'll find out the latest when we return. Stay with us.